I'm Nancy L. in Arizona, gratefully recovered food addict for today. God, please grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and the courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. It's a privilege to share my story with you today. I'll admit it's my first time sharing on Zoom, so it's a little bit, I feel kind of out there and vulnerable, but you guys are all my sisters and brothers in program, so everything is good, right? Right. Okay. First thing I want to do is just read a little bit from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 45. Let's see. Okay. Forgive me. I'm going to mess up early here, but I got it all dog-eared, so I know what I'm doing. Okay. As a child, I used to wish a lot, and I guess I'm not going to read page 45 because it's not, let me see here. Okay, here we go. Here we go. When I was a kid, I used to wish a lot. And in this paragraph on chapter 4, it talks about the word wish many times. If a mere code of morals or a better psychology of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found out that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral. We could wish to be psychologically comforted. In fact, we could wish all these things with all of our might, but the needed power was not there. We did not have sufficient power, and they failed us utterly. So I had this favorite poem as a kid. Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. I wish I may. I wish I might. I wish I have my wish tonight. So I would wish things like this. I wish to be in a regular body size. I wish the other kids wouldn't make fun of me. I wish I didn't have to wear special dresses for chubby girls. I wish my parents wouldn't scream at each other. My wishes were not sufficient. They failed me utterly. So my story is not that great of a story, but it gets greater as I get older. Thanks be to God for that. I was the only child, and my father was an alcoholic. And so my dad was the type that really got in fights and lost jobs and just really, he was not a functioning alcoholic. Let's put it that way. My mother was sidetracked by my father's behavior, and she had the complete responsibility of running the household. There were many nights of fighting and yelling with my parents, with screeching tires as my father drove off to be gone sometimes for days and weeks and months. So it was Mom and I. By the time I reached a junior in high school, we had moved 26 times. Sometimes I would start a new school in the middle of the school year. It was always a different place to live, sometimes we'd rent a room of some stranger to live in their extra bedroom. I was in a foster home for a while, and it was utterly chaotic for sure. But I had three things that kept me going. My mother was always gracious enough to get me a pet. So I usually had a dog or a cat. My father was gracious and loving and gave me brand new bicycles at Christmas when he was around. And then the sweets, the sweeter, the better. That is what I used to cope. The sweeter, the better. I did get married at the age of 23 and married a wonderful man. We adopted two children and my life was somewhat stable. I didn't have an idea of what was going on at the time. I'm reading in the doctor's opinion here where it says that we, you know, men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it's injurious, they cannot after a time differentiate the true from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seemed the only normal one. And that was me. All I wanted to do was be normal and feel normal and enjoy my life. But I really didn't have any other family. So it's not like I could go to my cousins and see a real family. I didn't know what a real family was. But I did know that when I ingested those sweets, and watch out, this time of year, I was going for it, and Easter and all that stuff. And that brought me the comfort that I thought I needed. But it was backfiring on me. So right around, I think I was in my 50s. I was 5'4 then. I've shrunk a bit. And I weighed about 170 pounds. So maybe 15, 16, something like that. Yeah, I think my wedding dress was a size 16 and we had to let it out. So I was a 16 and a half when I got married. I had some crazy things happen to me. Like I said, you know, I didn't know I had an addiction. I tried and I worked so hard so many times to get the weight off and I could manage to do it for a while, but it was never lasting. I went to my MD once for some allergy problems. We talked about my problem with allergies and he left the room to get me a sample of nose spray. Before he left, he walked over to the counter and wrote on the top of my chart and then he left. I was curious, so I went over and read the top of the chart. There was no other writing except for one word and that was the word obese. When I looked at that, my heart just sank. He could have just said, she's a horrible, stinky, awful woman, because the word obese to me was it just knocked me for a loop. I didn't say anything when he came back in the room. He gave me my sample. I left. I got in my car and I swore I will never see that doctor again as long as I live. And he was one of my favorites. You know, I just didn't know what I didn't know. Maybe if he would have written on there that he might have said a precancerous spot on her right cheek, when he came in the room, I'd be going, well, doc, what are we going to do about this cancer on my, you know, but when he wrote obese on there, I felt like he was just calling me names. After all, I've been called a lot worse growing up. So, anyway, I stopped wishing and I became more and more depressed. Like Bill Wilson, I could not imagine one more day with the food or one more day without the food. I was at the jumping off place, how dark it gets before the dawn. Self-discipline and willpower no longer work for me. Now my wish was to end it all, to come to an end. Star light, star bright, first star I see tonight. I wish I might have the wish I have tonight. And that was to end it all. But God, my higher power, he had another plan. And little by little, he somehow, some way, I'm not sure how it all happened, but I got into the rooms of OA. And I went to one meeting a week, and that was around 2004. I enjoyed the fellowship, and I got a lot of information. I got a ton of information about the allergy and the phenomenon of craving. But I've learned since that information, when it's just information, is information. It comes and it goes. And I'd leave the meeting and it's gone. But information with transformation, information that I would allow a transformation to come in. Now we're talking recovery. But did I want a sponsor? No. Did I want to have to deal with selfishness, self-centeredness, and depression and fear and resentments? That was my middle name. My middle name was self-pity. I had it everywhere. I mean, I could tell you stories just like I did about my growing up. If you had my problems, you'd eat too, or you'd drink too. So I really came in with this huge chip on my shoulder. So basically, I made friends. I went to retreats. You know, I guess I got a little recovery, but not a whole lot. But one thing I did feel was that I couldn't leave. I know too much now and I cannot leave. So my misery continued to plague me. Page 24 says, the fact is that most alcoholics, for reason yet obscure, have lost the power of choice to drink. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory and the suffering and the humiliation of even a week or a month ago. We are without defense, without the first drink. The certain consequences that follow taking even, for me, one bite did not crowd into my mind. This time I would say to myself, I can handle it. I can handle one more bite. But now I'm believing that those thoughts are lies that can get me into a lot of trouble. And I'll talk about the lies later. So my troubles, I think, I started to think were of my own making. I knew I needed God's help, and I knew I needed to take the 12 steps with a recovered sponsor. And for me, who was the most terribly dishonest person, I just hate to think of what I used to do. And thank God I've made my financial amends. I've made my amends with my dishonesty to the best of my ability to remember. That was when I started to work the steps and really feel the recovery. You know, at first I was 99% honest with my food, and then 98% honest with my food. And, you know, and they go back to day one and back to day one. And I was just ready to pull my hair out. But eventually, thank God, like they say, don't leave till a miracle happens. Well, my miracle was very slow in coming. So today, because of, God's grace and mercy, let's see. I exert the effort and God removes the desire to pick up. And my daily disciplines are that I don't listen to the lies scrambling in my addict mind anymore. Lies like, I need more, or this extra bite will help me to get to sleep tonight, or my hip is hurting, I need something for the pain, I need to eat. Another lie, I haven't had this food for a long, long time. Maybe I could have it now, but just one bite. Another lie. Oh, I've been so good. I should be able to. I deserve. I deserve nothing. I deserve nothing. I've had enough food to fill up 14 women for a lifetime, and I deserve nothing that is going to kill me because I want to live. So I replace the lies with the truth. The truth is, my 3 weighed and measured meals per day are enough. After dinner, I say out loud in the kitchen. I've started to say this out loud in the kitchen. The kitchen is closed. I'll say it a couple times. The kitchen's closed now. I clean up. I walk out. I'm done. I was a chronic night eater, so I really have to pay attention when that sun goes down. If some things bother me, I pay attention to that as well. I don't let it eat at me. I do spot check inventories, and I call them in or I text them in. There's times when I just do some writing. If I can't talk, call or text, I can write real quick. I weigh myself one time a week, and I've lost around 100 pounds, and it's been off for about 18 years now. Yes, it was off even when I was going that flip-flopping with the day one's business. I just didn't gain the weight back. Thank you, God. So my doctor says to me now, not that doctor, because I never saw him again, but my other doctor says to me, Nancy, your heart loves your weight. And that makes me feel so good when I think about that. 3 days ago, my husband and I got word that our 33-year-old son is back in jail. We were very disappointed, but we were not shocked. I had a choice to make. Number one, I can start beating myself up and accusing myself for being a terrible mother, and that if I weren't a bad mother, he wouldn't be in jail. I could get in a real heated argument with my husband, or I could go run to the food, or I could do all 3 and just go isolate for 3 or 4 or 5 days. Or I could take decision number two, I could go directly to God in prayer, which I did. I could pay close attention to his direction, which I did, and I could accept his love and comfort, which I did. I also called a few of my friends that I know are closed mouth, and we prayed and we talked about it. I did step 10 on my fears. And then I resolutely turned my thought towards something that could make me feel good and that maybe someday I could help someone with. Number one, I'd be grateful. I could be grateful he's off the streets. I could be grateful he's not hanging around the drug dealers. I could be grateful he's up in the mountains, Colorado, that he's warm. I could be grateful that he has, thank you so much, that he has 3 meals That's what I could be grateful. And I could be grateful that God could meet him in that cell room. Like God met me in a garage one day. I didn't have anyone around me. It was me in my car and God speaking to me. The time has come to give it up. I had hit rock bottom. That could happen to my son in jail. It's important to leave, for me, to leave no room for self-pity, dishonesty, resentments, or fear, or foolish decisions that lead me back to a life of self-destruction in the food. Starlight, start bright. First star I see tonight. I wish I may, I wish I might. I wish for my friends in this meeting the peace of food, the peace with food as you cling to your higher power each day. And I thank you for allowing me to do this service this afternoon, and I pass.